and the Ad Council.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
It's 40 love here in the third set.
And there's the bell. She's coming off the bench hot, looking for a quick knockdown. But wait, she's driving to the hoop. Oh, down goes the champ.
Now that's another double fault. She'll be shooting too. The serve is up.
And here comes the left hook. She's bundled her home and auto insurance with Progressive. Swish, ace, savings, TKO.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
If you're an employer looking to hire, here's some great news. ZipRecruiter lets you post jobs for free before you commit. Head over to ZipRecruiter.com/Bob to try it out. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B-O-B. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House announcing that President Biden will name a task force to protect classified material during transitions. It follows the special counsel's report that found President Biden willfully retained classified documents after he left office. The special counsel said that there was not enough evidence, though, to charge Biden, but also cited his poor memory and age in the report as factors. White House counsel spokesperson Ian Sams pushing back on those claims.
The president spoke powerfully about this last night. After a long investigation that turned over every stone and explored every theory, the special counsel decided that there was no case there.
Israel's prime minister ordering Israeli forces to draft up an evacuation plan in Rafah. That's near Egypt's border. IDF forces now targeting the southern section of Gaza as it battles Hamas. And western states are bracing for another round of storms, including heavy snow in the Rockies. Severe weather also sweeping across parts of the south. This is ABC News. The Federal Communications Commission has outlawed robocalls that contain voices generated by artificial intelligence. It follows calls that went out to New Hampshire voters ahead of last month's presidential primary.
In the run-up to the New Hampshire primary, thousands of voters got a phone call.
It's important that you save your vote for the November election. Voting this Tuesday.
That is not President Biden, but an AI-generated sound-alike meant to influence voters. The new FCC regulation applies not just to political ads, but to all robocalls. The agency hopes to send a message that exploiting AI to scam consumers and to mislead voters won't be tolerated. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A murdered suspect awaiting extradition to the U.S. escaped from a Kenyan prison Wednesday. 40-year-old Kevin Adam Kantyeye faces first-degree murder charges in the death of Margaret Mbitu, who was found dead at Boston's Logan International last year. Prison officials say that he ran out of the prison during a meeting. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. A Wisconsin man is sentenced for his role in the January 6th Capitol insurrection.
A U.S. District Court judge in Washington, D.C. this week sentenced 25-year-old Riley Casper of Pulaski to 36 months in federal prison for his role in the 2021 riot. Casper bragged about using bear spray on police officers who were defending the nation's capital from a mob of supporters of former President Donald Trump. His actions were documented by body-worn police cameras and his own boasts on social media, in which he described assaulting multiple officers as satisfying. Casper pleaded guilty in September. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Chippewa Falls school administrators say a threat made to the high school last October wasn't credible despite recent media reports.
Chippewa Falls school superintendent Jeff Holmes said the matter was immediately investigated with police and was resolved without incident. The district did not release information then due to privacy laws and for the discretion of the students' well-being, Holmes said. A conservative online commentator released the redacted police report this week, claiming the district was covering up the matter and compared it to the 1999 school shooting in Columbine, Colorado. Holmes said these comments were not accurate and potentially dangerous. I'm Carl Cooley for Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two big winter events in Madison have either been canceled or modified because of the warmer temperatures.
Clean Lakes Alliance had to move its annual frozen assets fundraiser off the ice. They also had to cancel their Kites on Mendota. Now UW-Madison has had to rethink its winter carnival, where one of the highlights is a replica of Lady Liberty that appears to be coming out of the ice of Lake Mendota. Lady Liberty instead will be placed on Library Mall in front of the Memorial Union in Madison. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Wow, what a weather 180. Temperatures hovering in the mid-30s as highs under overcast skies. A feisty west wind at 15 miles per hour is making it feel about 10 degrees cooler, too. But we've got a bright and beautiful weekend ahead. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Program. Thanks for being here. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's show, we're going to go over the latest meat demand monitor numbers with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. He will join us in segment two here to discuss what he is seeing for trends there on the meat demand monitor. In segment three, we're going to go back to the cattle industry convention last week in Orlando, Florida. I had a conversation with Kent Backus with the NCBA, looking at some of the recent tax legislation that has worked through Congress and more. We're going to talk about that coming up here after the bottom of the hour today. And then also coming up here in segment four, we are going to discuss more about this week's dicamba ruling in a U.S. District Court in Arizona that's taken dicamba products off the table for farmers here, it appears, in the 2024 growing season. We are going to learn more about what's going on and get some reaction to that with the president and CEO of the Agricultural Retailers Association, Darren Kopic, is going to join us coming up here in segment four today. So a lot to get to on the program. Let's kick things off, though, and take a look at what's going on in the markets, recapping the February WASDE report that came out on Thursday. Joining us now, Chris Robinson with Robinson Ag Marketing. Chris, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Happy Friday. Here we go. So let's try and make the best of a bad situation after that USDA.
Yeah, really neutral to mostly bearish report from the USDA. I think a lot of folks were quite surprised with CONAB's number coming out early on Thursday, sub 150 on their soybean crop for Brazil, and then USDA only dropping theirs 1 million metric tons. Plus, I know that USDA also raised the Brazil crop from last year. That factored into the U.S. export cut that we saw. Just overall, not a great report for soybeans, was it, Chris?
No, not really, and that's why we've fallen to 8 month, 9 month lows. I think guys are trying to see if the March, May low that we made last summer holds. So that's the only positive. If that holds, we could get a recovery. But it's been a difficult couple months, and the flat price is flying in the face of a lot of people out there that thought that numbers are wrong. This is going to be an ongoing argument between the USDA and CONAB. Who's right? Who's wrong? And at the end of the day, unfortunately, all we have is to go on is the flat price. So I would say, try and hold steady There's a lot of what ifs between now and when the planters start turning in April. But, you know, after a couple good years of, you know, high prices, it's always difficult to come back to, you know, 3-year lows in corn and 8-month lows in soybeans. You know, there's no two ways about it.
Well, and it just feels like that the overall theme here in commodities has been commodity deflation, so to speak, Chris. And, you know, the funds remain record short in many of the grains, corn, beans especially. And so it just feels like the trend is the friend right now of some of these fund managers that continue to drive these prices lower with all this bearish weight to one side. Right, Chris?
Well, you've got the farmer that is long. This, you know, we got a 2 billion bushel carryout of corn out there, and that's probably the number one driver. But everybody has known about that for a while. The interesting thing is the funds, you know, they were long meal. They were had a record long position in meal. They just got completely hammered. So, you know, they're not always right. Now, currently, they have flipped short. They're bet short the greens. They are long cotton. So if they see an opportunity for the trend to change, they will flip. They really don't have a bias, but yeah, right now it's just one more headwind. You know, farmers always have to deal with supply and demand. The speculative funds, every Friday we get an update as to where their positions are. The government lets us know, and the commitment of traders. So we know that they're bet short. The only positive I can take away from that is when they are wrong, and if the market gives them a reason to cover, they will. And they're sort of, say, you know, their pain would be a farmer's gain. So that's the one holdout, if you have something helpful, is that if there's a reason for them to turn, they will quickly buy those back. They can do it all in 2, 3, 4 days, which is why when we're at these 3-year lows and 8-month lows, do not get overly bearish. It's because when the market turns, and it will, you don't want to be the last person that just sold into the low. So maintain your defensive position. And sort of hunker down here and wait and see. I've been doing this for 30 years. Generally, we always get a spring or a summer rally. This is the year you're going to have to make sure that when you do get it, that you reward it. You don't do what happened last summer when we got north of $6 corn and everybody said, nope, I'm not going to sell because we're going to $8. So learn from last year and, you know, hope for the best for this year. That's what I can tell guys.
I know here, end of the week, wheat markets seeing a decent bounce off of some pressure from earlier the week, cotton market on the bounce too. So it's not all bad news. To your point, you know, adding some friendliness here. I mean, wheat, cotton, and the livestock trade as well, all looking fairly decent on Friday. So that's another positive point, I would say, as well, Chris.
Yes. Livestock has had a tremendous recovery. Tremendous. We clawed back over 60% of what we lost between October and December, hitting 3-month, 4-month highs. Just there, again, it's a perfect example. Back in December, people were, you know, furious, and we were on our contract lows. And when it turned, you know, that's the one positive thing about volatile markets. When they turn, they'll give you another opportunity. But I'm not, and I wasn't born yesterday. It's very hard to stay positive when, you know, we've had corn drop 80 cents since October, November, and we've had beans drop $2 since October, November. So I get it. It's no fun. But again, the reason the windshield's big and the rearview mirror is small is for a reason. Look ahead. Stop worrying about missed opportunities. Let's keep our options open for the rest of the year and hope for the best.
How about on the energies as well? I know crude oil is getting back up there above $77 a barrel. Any thoughts for you on the energy markets, Chris, real quick, and how that could parlay into grains and livestock?
Absolutely. That would be a huge support for actually ethanol demand if we're able to get the big number for crude oil is $80. We stalled there going back to November 2 or 3 times. I think if you get north of 80, that would be supportive not only for ethanol demand, but also biodiesel, because that's when those prices get higher, the margins get better, and there's more demand for that. So that's the positive. But all in all, you know, we're continue to worry about, you know, if China's economy can turn around, that would be positive for crude oil. If the rest of the world can avoid a recession, that would be positive for crude oil, because the higher crude oil prices are, it's kind of a thermometer for the health of the whole world. So $80 is a big level. We'll see if we're able to get there. Right now, we're trading right around 77. So we have had a little bit of a bump up here in the last 5 days. Again, hopefully that helps ethanol and biodiesel demand. That's what you can look for.
Chris, really appreciate the thoughts and the insight here today on AOA. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, sir.
Chris Robinson, Robinson Ag Marketing, joining us here today on AOA. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at the latest meat demand monitor. Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University is our guest, and he joins us on the way right after the break. Back with more on AOA right after this. Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
National FFA Week is February 17th through the 24th, a week set aside for FFA students across the country to share how FFA impacts members every day. I'm National FFA Secretary Grant Norfleet from Missouri. What better way to show your support of FFA than to get involved in FFA Week? Whether it's in person, on the phone, or via social media, be sure to share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week, February 17th through the 24th.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Well, right now, let's get caught up on the latest meat demand monitor. We take a look at this every month and get a rundown of the latest data and the research. And joining us to go through things, Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University. Glenn, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us, as always, here on AOA. How are things in your neck of the woods, Glenn?
Doing well. It's a little warmer, and it's pretty nice February.
You know, we can't complain with temperatures above normal here for February. I know I'm watching grass grow in my front yard in the Mid-South, and spending some time up in the Northern Plains earlier in the week. I mean, temperatures well above normal. So, you know,
sometimes nothing wrong with that, but you know, makes me think, Glenn, we might have a blast of snow before spring truly gets here, right?
We might. Economists struggle with forecasting, but I don't envy the weatherman on that one, so that's very possible.
Good point. Good point. Let's take a look at the MDM for this month. And, you know, we've been following this now with you for quite some time and tracking some of the changes that you've been seeing here when you compile the data. So start things off just with the overall theme that you found on this month's Meat Demand Monitor.
Yeah. Overall, you know, we're referring to the January 24 numbers now, and we can compare those both to the prior month, which is December 23, as well as January of 23. And retail, so think grocery store for at-home consumption, demand for the meat products we were watching was flat or in most cases down compared to December. Food service was up just a little bit, but not enough to react a lot to. We monitor financial sentiment, and the vast majority still say their finances have not improved. I do sound like a broken record. I think I've said that 6 or 7 months in a row here with you, Jesse, but I think January, and I fear here February as well, is, you know, those holiday bills are coming due on top of some financial concerns. So there's a little bit of pessimism going through consumers' minds.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you on that. I'm hearing a lot of those same things. It just feels like more and more consumers, whether it be going to the grocery store or going out to eat, they're getting more and more concerned with their pocketbook, and that's having an effect. You know, you guys track the willingness to pay here in the Meat Demand Monitor, and I'm with you. That just seems like the sentiment that we're getting across the country right now, Glenn.
Yeah, and, you know, to drive that a little further, you know, the willingness to pay domestic retail, specifically grocery store for at home, was down not only compared to December, the way I said it, but in most categories compared to January of 23 as well. I've said this before, and I still stand by this story. I don't think the beef, pork, or chicken categories have, you know, an image problem or quality problem or anything like that. I think it's the macroeconomic situation we're in. I personally think that's going to get better, or the odds are decent it'll get better as 24 goes on. But here the first couple months, I think it's definitely a drag on domestic meat demand.
I know you look at retail and food service. Any big changes when you break down the different pieces of the market share there in retail or in food service, whether we're thinking ribeye steak or pork chops or bacon or chicken breast, any big changes month to month?
Nothing major. I mean, there's a marginal increase for beef in particular in food service demand compared to December. So specifically as dinner meal out of a restaurant, the demand was a little bit higher for a hamburger meal as well as a ribeye steak meal compared to December, but it's small. We've seen bigger, you know, gains in the past. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the fact that in December there was less restaurant traffic. So we're comparing to kind of a low month because of at-home holiday things. So I think that's more a seasonality play than anything else.
I know thinking about price, safety, taste, freshness, those are things that you guys track a lot in the MDM as well. Any changes in that aspect, Glenn?
Yeah, so every month we ask you know, over 2,000 respondents. I should interject, this is a nationally representative survey. Everything's on our Ag Manager website. We're not going to cover it all today. But taste, freshness, price, and safety regularly are the four most frequently indicated determinants of what protein you put in the basket or what meal you pick. More kind of social issues like animal welfare, environmental impact, a few of the others tend to rank much lower. But that's been the case every month, basically, since we launched this in February 2020. The only thing that's changed is compared to a year ago, price is more important than it was, consistent with the exchange we've had here so far today.
Meat knowledge and personal diet. That's another area that I always like to talk about with you, because I think it's very, very important, just that consumer knowledge of their meat and the importance they have on their diets and more. You guys track some data there. Any changes there of note this month?
Yeah, so the changes would be is particularly the self-declared diet. So do you tell me you regularly consume, you know, products from animals, so regular meat consumer, a flexitarian, so you have meat but you purposely avoid it every once in a while, or vegan, vegetarian, or, you know, we allow an opt-out or other if you choose not to declare. The percentage that say they regularly consume meat products hit 79% in January, which is up compared to the past. When you add in the flexitarians, which were 11%, you know, some of those two up, you're at 90%. And to go even further, Jesse, among those that tell us they're a vegan vegetarian, and when I dive into the data a little deeper, some of them actually told me earlier in the survey that they had meat the prior day. So that doesn't, you know, it's not consistent. So I actually think the share that's vegan vegetarian is 5% or less. That's important context for our listeners.
I know, too, I was reading through the report, plant-based proteins and high-protein diets remain topics heard or read most about. Yep. To kind of piggyback off what you were talking there about flexitarians, vegans, and vegetarians, et cetera, talk about some of the trends you're watching on the plant-based side, because I think this is very interesting, Cliff.
Yeah, and you threw two out at me there that are a little bit different. So I'm going to pick up on the high-protein one first.
Okay.
We actually have some dissertation research. Justin Bean is a student that works with me here that's diving into, you know, the relationship between those that are very focused on their personal fitness. You know, they go to the gym regularly and so forth. How much higher is their meat demand? I think that aligns particularly with the high-protein diet discussion you allude to there. That's important to understand, and we're in the process of doing a deep dive. But the plant-based protein one, I think, is a little more complicated. Everybody jumps to the plant-based patty, and we do monitor that. The demand for that's quite a bit lower than it was, say, 2 years ago, consistent with share prices and so forth that's in the media. But that's not the only plant-based protein that exists in the world, right? So, you know, there's other items besides the plant-based patty that's a little bit more controversial in the meat world. And I think that's probably what people are thinking about when they tell me this is still, you know, top of mind. Having, you know, greens in your diet more broadly, not necessarily the plant-based patty, I think is of core interest to a lot of consumers.
I'm going to jump around on you just a hair here, too, because this thought just came to my head as we're talking, Glenn. And I know you do a lot of work watching the cattle industry as a whole and more. We just had a cattle inventory report, and, you know, that came in fairly as expected. But there's a lot of this talk about rebuilding the cattle herd, and with a smaller herd size right now, what could that mean for prices and demand? So, I mean, what are some things you're seeing on the overall livestock side, cattle, and how that could potentially play into, you know, some of the prices we're seeing at the grocery store here in 2024? I mean, talk to me about that a little bit, if you can.
Yep. So we're already on track for the amount of beef specifically you're referring to per person, so per capita consumption volumes in 24 to be lower. I anticipate 25 and 26 will be notably lower, because that's where we'll see the impact of the, you know, heifers being retained, is my mm-hmm. current best guess. To the extent that happens, lower volume, all else equal, will lead to notably higher, you know, beef prices here in the U.S. That itself is not a bad thing for the industry. We need to be cognizant of that, right? You could still have stronger demand, but just fewer pounds available. We'll have some rationing by the market is what occurs there. Consumers that are most price sensitive will be the ones that don't consume as much beef in those couple of years, if that's what happens. I suspect that'll get talked a lot about in the media as beef prices go up, but that's pretty basic supply and demand. I fully expect it to occur. To the cattle producers that are listening to us here, Jesse, I want to interject. We have a lot of Excel-based decision tools on our Ag Manager website, and this isn't about the MDM, but other resources we have, one of which is a net present value tool to help you understand basically the economic value of adding a, you know, heifer or retaining a heifer on your ranch. I encourage you to make use of that and related resources when the time is right for you to make your own expansion decision.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I know you guys have a lot of great info and a lot of great research tools and more, as you mentioned, at the agmanager.info website, not just the meat demand monitor, but some of those other great pieces that folks can use as well. So thanks for mentioning that again, agmanager.info. Glenn, real quick, final thoughts for us before we wrap it up here today.
To keep it light, everybody should go there and get some purple. It's good for your soul, Jesse. That's good. I am optimistic that 24 is going to improve on the domestic meat demand to bring us back to the meat demand monitor. And we're going to hopefully see financial sentiment improve. And I think that'll be the driver of it.
Fantastic. Well, it's a partnership with the Beef and Pork Checkoffs. You can find the latest MDM and much more, agmanager.info. We're talking with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us here today on AOA. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we're going to head back to the Cattle Industry Convention and listen to a conversation I had with Kent Backus from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. That's on the way next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
wheat growers of the North, it's time to push performance with Westbred Wheat. With regionally proven varieties like WB9606 with good stress tolerance and WB9719 with outstanding yield potential and excellent standability. Trust Westbred Wheat to help you get the most out of every acre. Now's the time. Boldly grow. Seize the season with Westbred Wheat. Performance may vary. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. March milk down 15 to 1704, April down 8 at 1741, May down 11 at 1776, June milk down 16 at 1806. Live cattle markets mostly higher on the day. Asking prices were noted at 183 in the south, 290 in the north. Packers have some decisions to make. They don't want to pay up to see the cash market gain more leverage, but at the same time, they are short bought, and that could lead to higher prices next week. Now, the feeder cattle markets moved mostly lower on the day. The cash cattle market, again, not seeing any trade develop, did pressure prices. Hog markets moved mostly higher. More cash markets did develop late in the week, along with some short covering. February live cattle up 85 cents to 184.62. March feeder cattle were up 30 cents to 247.15. February hogs up 37 cents to 73.67. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly lower on the day. Now, the farmers remain in a big, long basis position. And there's also still some positive weather now developing in South America. That's also pressuring the markets. Soybeans also moving mostly lower as well due to those better weather patterns in South America. Wheat markets, though, they were mostly higher. March corn down 4.25 to 4.29. New crop beans down 9 to 11.63 3/4.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Planning for retirement and your family's future should not keep you up at night. I'm Tyler Schroyer of Heike Wealth Management. From Roth IRAs and 401k rollovers to life insurance needs and purchasing CDs, I strive to add value to your financial and retirement picture. Visit HeikeWealthManagement.com or stop at my office on 3rd Avenue West in Durand to schedule an appointment. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance offered through Heike Wealth Management, LLC, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial Services.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, I've been traveling a lot here the last 2 weeks, basically. I've been all over the country from Florida to North Dakota to Tennessee, and we still have plenty of interviews that we haven't been able to share with you yet here on the program because we've just had a lot going on. Well, I had a conversation
back at the Cattle Industry Convention in Orlando with Kent Backus from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We talked about a lot of the recent tax-related news that a lot of farmers and ranchers need to know about. So let's listen to that conversation right now back at the Cattle Industry Convention in Orlando with Kent Backus from the NCBA here on Agriculture of America. And joining us now here at the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show, Kent Backus with the NCBA Executive Director. Kent, it's good to see you again in person.
Good to see you too.
I know we've talked a few times, you know, virtually over the phone, whatnot, but it's always good to see you in person. And, you know, when we could do it in sunny Florida, what better, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, unfortunately, I haven't seen the sun much. It's been mainly the fluorescent lighting in these meeting rooms. But, you know, I really enjoy being here. Just you get to see great people from all over the country.
Well, I know there's a lot to talk about, which is why you've been in those meeting rooms. And I want to just quickly touch on this. We saw Wednesday evening the House passed a pretty sweeping tax legislation. A lot in there in terms of bonus depreciation and things like that. Talk about what we've passed through the House here, Kent.
Sure. So this was an end of the year tax package. So of course, Congress waits to the very last day of January to pass a bill they were supposed to pass in 2023. Mm-hmm. So included in that is bonus depreciation. It bumps that back up to 100%. There's, relief on Section 179 that's going to bump that back up to $1.29 million. And then there's some provisions in there, too, that so if you've received any kind of funding because of wildfire damages and stuff like that, then that's not included in your income. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't know that was a case to begin with, but I mean, I'm glad they finally corrected that.
Sure.
I mean, talk about pouring salt in a wound. But, but anyways, there's some good things that are included in there. A lot of other things we don't have time to get into today, but this was something that, you know, probably the other big factor with that was the child tax credit.
Yeah.
And that was the big source of contention, but, you know, that's been, funded, I believe, at $2,000 per child.
Something like that. Yeah. It was something like that. So I know a lot that goes into it for sure. And thinking on the tax front, you were telling me about this that I wasn't fully aware of what you guys were doing here. So I'm glad you brought it up. NCBA has been doing a tax survey. Talk about that a little bit for us.
Yeah. So, for the last several months, we've been asking our members for feedback. And we did this through an anonymous survey that we launched. And for those who are interested, it's on our website at ncba.org. It's at the top of the policy page. We've been targeting cattle producers just to say, hey, how do these tax revisions affect you? Have you been impacted by the death tax? Have you, how do the different capital gains provisions affect you? There's a lot of other things that are out there. And so we've really tried to get a better picture of all of these provisions that are set to expire at the end of 2025. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to take all of this information and probably in early April, we're going to publish this report. And we're going to use that for advocacy over the next year and a half. Because there's a lot of members of Congress who have very little understanding of how those letters and numbers in the tax code actually impact our family-owned businesses and operations. And so you think about it. Over half the House of Representatives wasn't in office the last time Congress voted. So in 2017, when they did the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, a lot of folks, those folks aren't here anymore. And, you know, you've got a dozen or so senators who've never had to take these positions either. You got a lot of staff that are going to be advising them that were in high school and college the last time this came up. So there's a big, big education gap, and that's on us because Uncle Sam's got a greedy, greedy habit of spending. He's not going to turn that around anytime soon. We got a $34 trillion debt, and so we've got a big revenue issue, which means that all of these provisions are on the chopping block. So we have to step up and defend them. We have to fight for a tax code that's going to be beneficial for farmers and ranchers. And we got to do that by personalizing the tax code. And so that's why we've been pushing this survey. We've got several hundred responses. We're going to keep it open through the end of February. So I'd encourage, if you're a cattle producer out there, visit our website. Let's take this survey. That'll help us really as we start to target all these House and Senate offices going forward. But overall, you know, our policies are set by our members. And we've had a very robust discussion here this week We've got pretty good direction, but the results of this survey are really going to give us guidance as to what the priorities are and where the big concerns are out in cattle country.
Not to spoil the results, but what are some of the, what's the big thing you're hearing? What's the big concern looking ahead to 2025 from many of the ranchers and cattle producers who are here at the show this week?
Well, you know, the preliminary results, we've already pulled some already just as of January 1st. And, you know, it's, I'm sad to say, but, you know, you've got, you know, nearly 40% of the survey respondents have already had to pay the estate tax once. They've already been impacted by it. But the big concern is that if Congress fails to do anything by the end of 2025, then the estate tax relief, those levels that we have right now that are adjusted for inflation, all of that falls down to that $5 million per individual, $10 million per couple. Now, that's adjusted for inflation. That's probably closer to $6 million, but still, you look at land prices, you look at all of the results of inflation over the last few years, that's going to hit a lot of people. And that was one of the things that we saw in the survey, was that close to 60% of the respondents would be affected by that change. So we're not just fighting for the repeal of the estate tax, we're also fighting for greater relief. So this is an important tool that's going to help us. But, you know, we also have a lot of people who want to weigh in on income tax, on capital gains, on a lot of the other things that are out there. So I know it sounds like it'd be pretty heavy and people may be deterred, be like, I don't like talking about taxes anyway, but this is 10 minutes of your time. We're not asking you to bring your CPA to fill this out. We're just asking for your opinion.
Yeah.
You know, has this impacted you and you know, what could be better?
Do you worry that presidential politics could play a role in this whole tax process as we look towards 2025? Obviously, I mean, it's an election year. I know that can, it can make it silly season. Do you think that's going to have any sort of impact on any of this at all?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at, you look at the divisions in Congress, and this is always the debate of, well, make the wealthy pay for everything, or, well, the poor aren't carrying their share. There's always finger pointing. There's name calling and everything else. We're going to see that in the committee hearings. We're going to see that by every politician that's running for office. This is an election year. Of course, we're going to see that. This is setting the stage for next year. So, in the meantime, what they're saying in public, yes, they're all going to you know, talk about all these things. But this is about the education. When you have that one-on-one meeting, because all these politicians are going to be home this summer. They're going to be telling you what a great job they've done and how you need to send them back to Washington. And I think it's time for get them on the record and find out where they are on these important tax provisions.
Another important topic I want to ask you about before we run out of time, Corporate Transparency Act. We're hearing a lot about this. I think a lot of folks are confused, don't know what's all going on, the reporting requirements that are tied with this, et cetera. Get us up to speed. What's going on?
So Corporate Transparency Act, new law that took effect on January 1st. So if you have an existing LLC before 2024, you have until the end of 2025 to file a beneficiary report.
Beneficial ownership. Yeah.
Disclosing your beneficiaries and all that stuff to the Treasury Department. And if you create an LLC in 2024, you have 90 days to comply. So it essentially, it affects companies with 20 employees or less. It seems to be more of a clerical thing, but there are penalties involved if you fail to report. So that while there are some exclusions, I think banks and insurance companies aren't hit by this. This is a very important thing that everybody should talk to their tax preparer and find out if this is something that could affect them. Because if you willfully fail to disclose this information, it does carry jail time. But it's also got penalties of $500 per day for every day that you're out of compliance. So, I mean, if it's a clerical thing and it's something you can do, then that's fine. But consult with your tax preparer and find out.
I've heard some chatter from folks that this whole thing is some want to say it's trying to be a gotcha thing, but it's also, some are saying that it's one of those where they're trying to cut down on things like money laundering or whatever the case is. It's kind of the reasoning behind this. But to your point, it largely seems very clerical in nature.
It is. And I mean, if you look at the the justification for doing this was to go after Russian oligarchs and the Chinese Communist Party and a lot of front companies, and they were trying to funnel money through the U.S. economy. Unfortunately, it is going to hit about 32 million Americans, so find out if you're one of the 32.
And average Joe like me who has a single-owner LLC myself, I got a report. Yeah. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's and if you think about how many operations have multiple LLCs and then the – no two operations are the same. So if, just because your neighbor does doesn't mean you have to. But likewise, you know, don't wait to find out. Like, have those conversations now and you know, hopefully get that box checked before it's too late.
Definitely. A lot of issues to stay on top of. I know we will be talking again, I'm sure, real soon. Kent, thanks for the time here at the Cattle Industry Convention. Always good to see you and have a conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Once again, really insightful stuff. Great conversation. Many things that folks need to know on the tax front there and more. Great to talk with Kent Backus back at the Cattle Industry Convention in Orlando. All right, coming up next before we wrap up today is AOA. We've gotten the news earlier this week of that dicamba ruling that is vacating the use of dicamba, taking a tool out of the toolbox for farmers here for the 2024 growing season potentially. We're going to learn more about that and what is at stake. Darren Kopic, President and CEO of the Agricultural Retailers Association, joins us next on AOA.
Total by Verizon is wireless that goes all in for you. That means unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, priced by us at $25 a line for 4 lines on the unlimited plan. And as always, no contracts. Sounds pretty hard to beat, but all in is all in. So we added international calling to fill the year with more, hey girl, because it can't be total unless it's all in. Find a store and exclusive deals at totalbyverizon.com. Monthly rate when you activate with auto pay discount beginning the month after you enroll, plus taxes and fees. Additional restrictions apply. See website for data management practices and full terms.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Courtney Hall, Senior Director of Sustainability with CHS, will provide a low-carbon fuel standard update. Courtney, what is a low-carbon fuel standard, or LCFS for short?
Low-carbon fuel standard are rules that are developed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the transportation sector. They're developed state by state and are often the driving force behind the use of renewable fuels in that state.
Well, what constitutes a low-carbon fuel?
Well, low-carbon fuel is pretty simple and straightforward. It provides energy, but reduces the amount of greenhouse gas emissions, or carbon, compared to a conventional fossil fuel. There are a lot of very familiar low-carbon fuels that, you know, your listeners might be very familiar with. Ethanol is an example of a low-carbon fuel. Biodiesel, renewable diesel, those are all examples of low-carbon fuels.
Well, what states have adopted a LCFS, and do you see it growing?
So California was the first state to adopt a low-carbon fuel standard. They started implementing theirs in 2011, so they've been at this for some time. Their goal is to reduce 20% of emissions by 2030. Oregon is the next state that came on with a low-carbon fuel standard. It is mostly modeled on the California program. And the latest one is Washington State. Their program went into effect January 1 of last year. We do think that other states are watching what's happening on the West Coast, and they're starting starting to kick around their own LCFS programs. There are likely developments happening in Illinois and Minnesota.
Well, why should farmers care about low carbon fuels?
Renewable fuels, you know, they start from the farm. They're based on crops grown on the farm, corn, soy, etc. So these fuel standards are creating demand for these types of commodities.
And thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted car.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Well, we just saw here earlier in the week a federal judge vacating the 2020 dicamba registrations by the EPA. The ruling in the U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona leaves farmers without options to use dicamba in the upcoming growing season. Here to talk about this and share some perspective with us, he's the president and CEO of the Agricultural Retailers Association. Darren Kopic is with us. Darren, thanks for joining us here on AOA. So give us a little more background. Tell us what exactly is going on with this court ruling and how it's going to affect farmers here in the upcoming growing season, Darren.
Well, the ruling that was handed down by the district court in Arizona said that EPA made a procedural error in terms of how they did notice and comment when they reauthorized those labels back in 2020. And I can tell you from our experience working with the people at EPA, they know how their system works. They know how to check the boxes. And so I'm pretty skeptical that there was any serious violation of the procedure. And we have a lot of confidence in their ability to do these scientific assessments. That's really the issue for us is we've got a federal court now making decisions about what products we can use rather than a scientific regulatory agency making those decisions. And the decision also comes at a really poor time for the whole industry.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the poor timing of this. We're into February here, Darren. I know a lot of growers have already started making decisions about what they're going to put in the ground here for this spring planting season, what products they're going to use, especially, I think, our soybean and cotton farmers in particular. So this is very problematic in its timing, isn't it?
It certainly is. And, you know, the growers have made their decisions about what kind of seed they want to plant, what kind of herbicide will go into that system to make that whole thing work. And so retailers are now stocking and probably even delivering some of these products out to the growers. And then here the district court, you know, basically the wheels are in motion and they break the axle for us. And so we're kind of stuck. And so the request that we're making of EPA still needs to make an announcement of a cancellation order. And they have some ability to do some policies on existing stocks of product, emergency labels, some other kinds of things that they have at their disposal. And so that's what our request to them this morning was, is make sure that whatever the final decision allows product that was already in the channel to be used according to the current label. And there is a lot of precedent for EPA allowing that.
Well, I know this has been an ongoing issue and an ongoing fight, I think, between, you know, a lot of environmentalists and more. Everyone seems to have a bit of a different opinion on the use of over-the-top applications of dicamba. This is something, yeah, again, Darren, it's been going on for quite some time, and we really, you know, we keep going back and forth on some of these issues surrounding dicamba, don't we?
This one's been particularly controversial, especially at the farmer level. Some farmers support the technology, some do not. Our beef here isn't really with whether the technology is right or not. It's with where these decisions are getting made. And so, you know, you mentioned that the activist groups keep challenging our portfolio in the courts, and any excuse they can find to challenge any pesticide, they'll do it. And it makes you wonder, you know, these people must be in favor of starvation, or they like worms in their salad and nematodes in their potatoes. Otherwise, I'm not quite sure why they'd be trying to take away all of our tools.
Well, you mentioned the encouragement that you guys have sent to EPA, looking for them to find some ways around some of this flexibility with emergency labels and cancellation orders and, you know, things like that. So realistically here, Darren, what's our next step forward? How soon would we need to hear something from EPA to have some more certainty on being able to use products here in this 2024 growing season? What's the timeline looking like?
Well, everybody's on pins and needles waiting to see what EPA does. I think the first decision that they'll need to make is whether they appeal the decision. And if they do, it would go to the Ninth Circuit, and they could request that the ruling be stayed until the appeal is heard. That would at least give us some more breathing room to continue stocking product and be prepared for the season. So between that, between them issuing a cancellation order, those are the things that we're waiting for, and it could happen at any time.
Now, as we're waiting again, I mean, in anticipation, if something doesn't happen, so to speak, and if dicamba is not allowed here in the 2024 season, I mean, from the retailer perspective, where do they go from here, and how do they work with growers for this upcoming season if dicamba is not allowed? What do you think?
Well, it's a huge can of worms. There's all kinds of ways this could go wrong, and a lot of them are bad for the environment. You know, if we get in a situation where there isn't a way to use product that's in the channel, then retailers have inventory in their warehouse that they can't sell. They can't even ship it back to the manufacturer without a special permit because its registration would no longer be valid. And so they're left with an untenable choice of sitting around with it in the warehouse, hoping that we get a new label, getting some special permission or a take-back program from the manufacturer to send the stuff back, or like exporting it to some other foreign country that hasn't banned it. Those are the options that they have, and none of them are very good.
Well, Darren, again, it's an issue we're going to have to watch to see how this plays out in the courts and with EPA and more. Final thoughts for farmers listening in, retailers listening in on what they need to keep in mind and pay attention to. What would you tell them? What would you reiterate to them today?
I think just keep your ears on. We're engaged in it. I know the Soybeans and Cotton Council folks are engaged in it. Crop Life America is engaged in it. So a lot of us are trying to get a decision that we can work with within the parameters the EPA has to operate in. And just stay tuned, I guess.
All right. Well, we will stay tuned. And folks can also find more info, aradc.org. That's the website for the Agricultural Retailers Association. With that, their president and CEO, Darren Kopic. Darren, thanks for joining us here and giving us an update on the dicamba issues here on AOA. We'll talk to you again real soon. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jesse.
And once again, Darren Kopic there with the Agricultural Retailers Association. All right, we're out of time here on the program today. Coming up on our next show, we'll talk markets with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart. We'll look at weather with John Baranek from DTN. And also, we're going to hear a conversation I had with the newly elected president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Mark Isley from Wyoming. All that and more coming up on our next AOA. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Appreciate you listening to Agriculture of America. Have a great day. From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day, people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math.
It seems like everywhere you look right now, someone is sick. This year, prepare your family for airborne invaders like bacteria, pollen, and yes, germs with Navage Nasal Care. Navage flushes ultra-pure, refreshing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. Navage sucks out viruses, dust, and other airborne particles, all the stuff that gets trapped in your nose, making you miserable. Don't get caught empty-handed this winter.